ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6 as we continue our in-depth study of the Gospel of John. And some of you are like, wow, we're out of the chapter 5 of John? Yeah, we did. We made it out of chapter 5. But my prayer was that you were blessed as we went through there. We took our time because chapter 5, there's just an abundant amount of information showing that Jesus Christ is Almighty God. Not just his witness, not just what he has said, but Jesus gives us the witness of others. He gives us the word of God. He gives us even God the Father as a witness that he is Almighty God. And yet, you know, there are a lot of people that say Jesus never claimed to be God. And for me, it's like, read John chapter 5. The whole chapter is about that. And also, really, the whole Gospel of John shows that Jesus is Almighty God. Here in chapter 6, some time has passed between these two chapters. We're going to see the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And it's recorded in all four Gospels, which tells me it's got to be important if it's in all four. The Holy Spirit has something for us, and I think it has a lot for us this morning. At this point in Jesus' ministry, he's going to start withdrawing really from the public, spending more time with his disciples, preparing them for the work that's ahead after he's gone. So we'll be looking at that as well. And again, why is he withdrawing? Well, there's a growing hatred of Jesus by the Jewish religious leaders, and they're also these guys were also steering the people to come against Jesus as well, and we'll see that, you know, as we come closer to the cross. But it wasn't time for Jesus to be put to death. There's an exact day, so Jesus is withdrawing from the crowds, and he's pouring his heart into his men. Also, keep in mind that at this point, Jesus and his men are just returning, or his men really, from a really intense preaching ministry Jesus had sent them on. In fact, Luke 9, verses 1 and 2 tell us, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." In verse 10, "And the apostles, when they had returned, told them all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida." So this is the area that they're going to. Bethsaida literally means house of fishing. From the area of Capernaum to Bethsaida is almost faster to walk than to take a boat. It's 3 miles or so by boat. If the wind is against you, it's a lot harder to get there, so easier to walk the few miles than to take a boat. But Jesus and his men are going to get into a boat. But the people who see Jesus doing this, they're going to walk, and they're actually going to get to the place Jesus is going to ahead of him. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 33, we see this. "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat.' So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him." So the people, again, are watching what Jesus is doing. They see him and his men. They're getting in this boat, and they're going to follow him by foot. Here's the thing. Crowds of people are starting to follow him, right? They're going through areas. It's a, you know, about a 3 mile journey or so. And people are, "Where are you guys all going?" "And we're going to see Jesus. Jesus is going in this direction." And people were following him. Maybe some 15 to 20,000 people. We're told that 5,000 men, so you get women, children, yeah. Why did Jesus go to this area? to give his men some rest. Now it's 15 to 20,000 people coming. That's not rest, man. Not at all. I call the study spiritual hunger. And if you see in the bulletins, it's got a question mark there. I don't believe these people were interested really in their spiritual condition, but their physical condition. Some needed healing. They're going to need food, as we're going to see this morning. But here's the thing. Right before them is the bread of life. But to them, the physical outweighed the spiritual need they had, and that's the problem. Their spiritual need was greater, and Jesus is going to deal with that here in chapter 6, as we'll see over the next few weeks. And think about this. Let's kind of put this into perspective. A person who doesn't know the Lord is dying there on their deathbed, maybe hours or maybe a day to live. What's the most important thing to pray for that person that doesn't know the Lord? Is it for a healing? No. I mean, a lot of people say, of course, we want him to live. But he's going to eventually die, because we all are. The greatest need this person has is to come to know Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying you don't pray for a healing, but you pray fervently for that person to get saved, because that speaks of eternity, where he will spend it. So spiritual healing, of course, is important, because it's everlasting. These verses you'll see in your bulletin, I've broken down into 6 points. Desperation, John 6, verses 1 through 2. Compassion, John 6, verses 3 through 6. The problem, John 6, verse 7. Worldly solutions, John 6, verses 8 and 9. Jesus satisfies in John 6, 10 through 13. And then the results in John 6, 14. So with that as our introduction, let's pick up in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, and let's see what the Lord has for us this morning as we study his word and look at this topic, spiritual hunger. John writes, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased or those who were sick." So John says the time frame is after these things, after the things that transpired back in John chapter 5. And it could be some 6 months or so between these chapters. And the time of year is Passover. We'll see that as we get to verse 4. That puts the cross about a year away. So get the time frame. We're about a year from the cross now here in John. John moves very quickly in his gospel. And his base camp was the area of Capernaum. He's going to Bethsaida on the northwestern coast of the Sea of Galilee. It's also called, John tells us, the Sea of Tiberias. So they get in this boat. They travel the 3 miles and took them maybe an hour or two to get there. And again, think about this time of year, Passover, spring. The mountains, the hills were just covered with grass and flowers. It was a beautiful time of year. In the summer, things dry out very much. And Jesus is heading to this area for a specific reason. My men need to rest. They're overwhelmed. They didn't even have time to eat in her last ministry. Let's get away for a little bit. But here are these multitudes following after him. And I'm sure that they could see the people on the shore. The people could see Jesus on the boat, because they didn't travel too far from the shoreline in this boat. So they're in this boat, and they see this line of people, this crowd of people. And they get there ahead. In fact, like Mark 6:33, the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. That's pretty impressive. These guys were determined. They make it there before Jesus and his men do. And the reason they're going is because they saw the signs he performed. He healed the sick, those who had disease. You think, well, that's the reason you're coming to Jesus, and we can come down on them. We could be harsh on them. But they were in desperation. Maybe family, friends, maybe even themselves. They were sick. They were in need of a cure, of a healing, of a miracle. You know, we look at medicine today, and we've come a long way, right? These people were desperate. And think about it. Appendicitis. Today, Not a big deal. Appendicitis back then, many died. You get an infection, lose a leg, lose an arm, maybe die. So these people were in need. They had, again, family, friends, maybe themselves that were sick, and they're following after Jesus. They were in desperate situations, and think about it. They neglected what they saw back in John chapter 5. What was the focus of John 5? Jesus is Almighty God. Okay, if he's God, he could do anything, right? But they ignored that he was God, and they wanted him for the miracles, the healings. And I guess we can say life is filled with desperate situations we find ourselves in. You know, there is the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, a divorce, a life-threatening illness, and we can go on and on and on. And what do we do when we find ourselves in a desperate situation? Do we become angry at God? God, why are you doing this to me? How could you have done this to me? Why'd you put me in this situation? Maybe we become angry at others. They're not. Look at them. I read the Bible every day. I go to church twice a week. I do all these things. I'm serving you, and I get sick. And this other person who doesn't seem to be doing a whole lot for you doesn't. And we become angry. We could isolate ourselves from people. We don't want to be around anyone. We could resort to drugs or alcohol to numb the pain. Here's the thing. I don't care what you're going through. Jesus loves you more than you will ever know, and he will work with you to get you through the situations you're facing. I'm not saying he's going to do a miracle and heal you from a deadly disease or a family member or whatever. That may not happen. But he can bring healing to the situation. He can bring peace to the situation that you're going through because he loves us. He doesn't want us to be angry or isolate ourselves or trying to numb the pain. He wants us to have that life, that abundant life that's only found in him. And that comes from the inside. That's an inward reality. And it only comes as we draw close to the Lord. I can't tell you how much God loves you. It's beyond. I was thinking about that the other day and thinking about spending eternity with him. I'm thinking, I can't even grasp that concept. What is it going to be like to spend eternity with my Lord? And it just blows me away. That's how much he loves us. And we have to keep that in mind. Now, for Jesus and his men, here are all these people. 5,000 men plus women, children, maybe 15,000 to 20,000 people are there. Jesus wanted to give his men rest. How do you think he's going to respond to them? What are you guys doing here? We want some rest. Go back home. I don't know if that'll work. But you know what? What we see Jesus do is have compassion. Look at verse 3 here in John chapter 6. And Jesus went up on a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, again, they're there for rest, but here there's ministry to take place. And you know, this is something that's important for us to understand. God will gave them and will give us strength for the work that's out there. He'll meet our needs as he meets the needs of the people here. You know, you would think Jesus would kind of be a little upset that these guys are just keep following him, but he's not. They came for the wrong reasons. He could have been mad at them. He wasn't. Some were just thrill seekers. We want to see Jesus heal some people. But he wasn't mad at them. They were desperate. And in spite of the wrong reasons, Jesus had compassion on them. I can't imagine the sight. You know, here's Jesus and his men sitting on this hillside, right? There's 15,000 to 20,000 people coming towards them. Oh my God. I mean, that's overwhelming, right? And I know that the text that we read doesn't say that Jesus had compassion on them, but the same story in Matthew 14:14 tells us how Jesus felt about these people that came to him. It says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." Mark 6:34, again, the same situation. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. That's how the Lord cares for us, guys. Maybe you're in a situation you feel that you don't deserve God doing anything more in your life. What did he do here? Did he throw his hands up in the air and say, "You guys are just horrible. Forget it." No, he had compassion on them. That's our God. Yeah, they went there for the wrong reasons, but the Lord was going to use this to teach them. Were they tired? Absolutely. His men, Jesus himself, I'm sure, was tired. We're told that in the scriptures. He got hungry. He was tired. And Jesus is going to teach them all day. I think that's a good thing for us as pastors to hear. Don't give up. You keep teaching the Word of God. And I think it's a good lesson for all of us. We get tired. We get exhausted. People are coming to us for help, for need, for a shoulder to cry on, whatever the case. And it could be tough. And the spirit may be willing, but the flesh, you know, is weak. And so we can't depend on our strength. We need to seek the Lord to strengthen us so we could accomplish these things. Some of you know this, what happened to me was many years ago when I first came up here to be pastor of this church. And it's a lesson I'm still learning, but the Lord showed me something huge. I was not only pastor of the church, I was working in a hospital 36 hours a week and a lot of overtime. I was doing the two studies here at Calvary. I was married, had two young children to care for, which, you know, they were involved in sports and other things. So I was busy, I was tired, and I had a set schedule. And, you know, my wife just drives her crazy because I'm so regimented. You know, Steve had said one time, "Man, if anyone wanted to kill you, they know exactly where you'd be every single day of the week." Yeah, pretty much so. So I was really busy, and I'm trying to study and do all these other things, and someone in the church had the nerve to call me and bother me while I was trying to study. I mean, can you believe that? The nerve. Okay, that's a little sarcastic, okay? I began to complain, not to this person, but to the Lord. I was like, come on, I got to get this stuff done, and phone call after phone call, come on. And you know how the Lord goes, "Joe, isn't that the reason you're up here for the people?" And it's, you know, it's like, bam, on the side of the head. Oh, yeah. You know, and you could try and do the, "Yeah, but Lord," and it doesn't work. You know, when he has you, there's no way out. Of course that's the reason for the people. I'm not here just to do the studies. It's for the people I'm here for. And the interesting thing was that when I took that time to minister to people, the Lord always provided the time for me to do the studies. And again, it was a lesson I needed to learn. It was a hard one because I was so regimented in doing things. And the Lord said, "You got to be flexible to change your schedule." So I try to do that. I'm still learning, but wow. What about all of us now? Well, maybe there's someone in your neighborhood that needs a hand with their yard work or housework because they're sick or they just can't do it. Or ministry at the church. Maybe you don't feel even called to it, but you see a need. And there's a list of a lot of different things, and that's between you and the Lord, what he wants you to do. But take a look around you and see those that might need some help. You know, we have a lot of good excuses why we can't do something. I did. But the Lord showed me, look, take time to care for the people, and he'll take care of me. And he does. And he does that all the time. So here are all these people. Jesus is teaching them all day long, right? Ministering to them. Matthew 14:15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." Wow. Mark also, chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves some bread, for they have nothing to eat." Again, Jesus taught them all day. Now it's late. You have 15,000, maybe 20,000 people that are there. They're getting hungry. It's getting late in the day now. And out of that, Jesus asked Philip a question that's going to blow his mind. Because Philip's going to try to figure this out. How am I going to do this? How am I going to get food for all these people? The question that Jesus asks is, Philip answers when Jesus says, you know, what are we going to do with them? Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Yeah. I mean, it's not like they can go to Piggly Wiggly or whatever. And, you know, then again, they wouldn't go to Piggly Wiggly. It wasn't kosher. But, yeah, sorry. But 15,000 to 20,000, even our stores couldn't handle that, right? So how are they going to do that? Jesus didn't ask Philip that question because Jesus didn't know the answer. He knew the answer. What is he doing then? He's trying to stretch the faith of Philip. Philip, how are we going to do this? Well, this is an impossible situation. Yeah, so how are we going to do it, Philip? Trying to draw out his faith, stretch his faith. And that leads us to the next point, the problem. Look at verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. What is he thinking about? I mean, Jesus asks a simple question, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And Philip's answer is, look, if we had 200 denarii worth of bread, that's not even enough to buy for all these people. So they can have just a bite. A denarius was the ordinary pay for a day's labor. So about 6 months' wages, but that wouldn't be enough to feed these people. Again, the reason he asked that question was to draw out the faith of Philip. Not to come up with a solution to the problem, but to look to Jesus. And we see this over and over again in the New Testament, where people are focused on the physical. How are we going to do this in a physical way? And Jesus is trying to show us on a spiritual level. And I love Jesus because he doesn't get mad. He doesn't get angry. He works with the individual. Why? To draw out their faith. And sometimes they see it. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they refuse to see it. But Jesus gives them the opportunity, and then it's up to them. Philip, again, looking on the physical level, and you're going to come up short. You know, the answer to Philip's problem was right before him. Who asked the question? Jesus did. Philip, Jesus could provide, right? But he wasn't thinking like that. I'll give you an example to show you how sometimes we miss the obvious and we go to the physical realm to try and find the answers. Maybe some 20 years or so ago, we were putting on a Christian concert in Washington Park and doing a teaching there. And we had the bands that were coming out, and I was going to do a teaching. And as we were setting up that morning, the skies did not look good. They were very dark. There was rain that morning. And we started to set up, but again, it didn't look good. It looked very threatening. It was early in the afternoon, and Chris, one of our elders at that time, and I looked at the situation. And we thought, man, should we set up all this equipment? Because, you know, electronics and water don't really mix. And so we were thinking about this. And Chris and I decided, you know, his house isn't that far away. Let's go to his house, get on the computer, and look at the radar and see what's coming. So we did. We told the guys, don't set up anything else. Just wait for us. We'll be back in a little bit. And again, the skies looked pretty bad at that time. And here's Chris and I. We're in the basement. There weren't any windows. And we're looking at the weather report. We're looking at the radar. There's just rain all around us. It looked bad. And we were saying, you know, maybe we should just cancel the concert because if we set up and it rains, all that equipment's going to be shot. So here we are, great men of faith, left his house to go back to Washington Park. And the sun's shining. The rain's gone. And everyone else that was at the park, they all set up all the equipment. It was all ready to go. Here we are ready to go cancel the concert. And God blew away the rain. And we had sun. Wow. We were looking at a worldly report saying, rain is all around you. You need to shut this thing down. God was saying, I have other plans. And we had the concert. We have to look to the Lord. We are placed many times in impossible situations. And we go, how am I going to get out of this? And it's a mess. We need to look to the one that can help us. How many times in my life have I tried to do things apart from someone who knew what they were doing? Remember when we were back in Illinois, in our house there was a furnace for the lower level, and the fan broke, so I was putting a new fan in, and so I...
devoting ourselves to the teaching of God. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.